إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ولله الحمد، الله عز وجل has brought us together on this blessed day to benefit from one another and to remind one another of that which is of khair, of that which is of good in this life and the hereafter. And indeed, it is not my place to add anything to what was mentioned previously by the ikhwah today. From amongst the last individuals that spoke, Farid Abdullah, Jazahullahu Khairan for that which he mentioned, was of great benefit for the listener. But we would just like to mention a few things in brief that can also benefit bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. And the way this will be mentioned is in fact taken from the hadith of Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, where he mentioned كان الناس يسأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخير وكنت أسأله عن الشر مخافة أن يدركني. Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that the people used to ask the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم about the good, and I used to inquire about the bad out of fear of it reaching me. Out of fear of it reaching me. And the reason why this is mentioned, this particular hadith is mentioned, because the kalam on taqwa is very great, and the kalam on taqwa is vast. And one of the janib, or one of the jawanib, one of the corners of angles of speaking about taqwa is speaking about the things that hinder an individual from developing taqwa. The things that can hinder an individual from the development of taqwa. And as the poet of the past said, عَرَفْتُ شَرَّ لَا لِلشَّرِّ وَلَاقِنِّ وَقِيهِ مَنْ لَا يَعْرِفَ الشَّرَّ وَكَعَ فِيهِ. One of the poets from the Salaf, they said, I learned about the evil, but not for the evil, but to abstain from it. Whoever does not know the evil falls into it. I learned about the evil, not for the evil, but to abstain from it. Whoever does not know the evil will fall into it. So we would like to remind one another and mention some of the hindrances in the path of the Muslim from obtaining and developing a taqwa. And from the first things that can be mentioned in this regard is the dangers of ignorance. There's no doubt that the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a complete religion. And Allah azza wa jal has informed us of this in His book, where He said, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَدِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, today I have completed, أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, I have completed your religion, and I have fulfilled my favor, and I have chosen Islam, I have chosen and preferred Islam as your religion. So in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he has completed the religion, we understand that there's nothing left out of it. And it is a religion, it is a deen, it is a way of life that is complete. And there's nothing that can be added to it, nor can anything be taken away from it. As well as the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, مَا فَرَّتْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said, and we have not left anything out of the book. مَا فَرَّتْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We have not left anything out of the book. So it is complete. As well as in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the halal is clear, and verily the haram is clear, and between them are doubtful matters. As well as in his statement sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَاءِ لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have left you upon clearness, I have left you upon clarity. لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا, its day is like its night. لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ. No one deviates from it except one who is destroyed. No one would deviate from that clarity, from that clearness, except one who is destroyed. Also the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا كَانَ قَبْلِ نَبِيٌّ أَوْ مَا بُعِثَ نَبِيٌّ قَبْلِ قَتْ إِلَّا كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُدِلَّ أُمَّتَهُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ فِي مَا يَعْلَمُهُ لَهُمْ وَيُحَذِّرُهُمْ مِنَ الشَّرِّ فِي مَا يَعْلَمُهُ لَهُمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there has never been a messenger before me. There has never been a messenger before me, except that it was the right upon him and for his people to guide them to the good that he knew it for them, and to warn them of the evil that he knew it for them. And verily our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the same thing. As he mentioned in his khutbah til wada', the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in his hajjah til wada', when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as was mentioned by Jabir ibn Abdullah in Sahih Muslim, but the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala hal balaqt, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in front of his companions and he said, have I not given the message? Yani, have I not left you upon clarity? Have I not explained your religion to you, informed you of that which is of benefit, and warned you of that which is of evil? And the companions, they bore witness to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did so, and he said, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, O Allah, be my witness, be my witness. So this without a doubt is something that we understand. The religion is complete and there's nothing that has been left out of it. And because of that we say that in order for an individual to obtain and to develop taqwa, that individual has to know what is taqwa. He has to know what is taqwa. And that individual cannot remain ignorant of this subject, nor any subject in Islam which is of benefit for him. And in fact, al-jahlu, or the dangers of ignorance, is something without a doubt very great. And its dangers are illustrated in the Book of Allah, as well as in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from that which can be mentioned is the statement where Allah tabarak ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. The statement of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah ordered the Yahud with that which he ordered with him, with that which he ordered them. And they said to Musa, أَتَتَّخِذُنَا حُزُوَا, do you take us as fools? And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam responded by saying, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being amongst the ignorant, those who are lacking in knowledge. As well as the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَمْعَهُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ فَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, where he, as Azawajal, mentioned, and if Allah wanted to, he would have gathered them upon guidance, so do not be amongst the ignorant. If Allah wanted to, he would have gathered the people upon guidance, so do not be amongst the ignorant. As well as the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud, where he Tabarak wa ta'ala was talking to his prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, where Nuh asked Allah azza wa jal to save his son when the tides were overcoming him and he was not able to swim. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah azza wa jal to save his son, and he said, "Verily he is from my people. Verily he is from my people." And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala admonished Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam and said, "He is not from your people, and he does not do righteous action. Inni a'iduka an takuna min al-jahilin. Verily, I sermon, or verily, I admonish you, or I speak to you, so that you are not from those who are ignorant. So that you are not from those who are ignorant." So there's no doubt that from one of the most major things that deters and hinders an individual from obtaining and developing taqwa is his ignorance to the greatness of taqwa, his ignorance with regards to the greatness of taqwa. And we've illustrated that from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. But you also have in the sunnah of the Messenger, you also have in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which informs you of the position of jahl, or the greatness or the dangers of jahl. As was mentioned in the hadith of Salama, the wife of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as was mentioned in Sunan al-Tirmidhi and others, when Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she said, "Ma kharaja an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min bayti qat illa rafa'a tarafahu ila as-sama'." She said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never leave my house. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would never leave my house, except that he looked toward the sky and he said, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an udilla aw udall aw أو أزل أو أزل أو أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو يجهل علي." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never leave the house of Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, except that he would raise his eyes to the sky and he would say, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you in going astray or being led astray, or deviating, or an individual trying to deviate me, or being oppressed or oppressing, or being ignorant, or an individual holding me to be ignorant, or being ignorant, or an individual taking me as someone who is ignorant." This was the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his ta'awudh billahi azza wa jal an yakuna min al-jahilin. Yani, this is the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it illustrates how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam used to seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal in being from amongst the ignorant. We also know that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as was mentioned by the Salaf of the past, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, where he ordered his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, "Rabbi zidni ilma." Oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Oh my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Why? Because ignorance is a disease. Ignorance is a disease, and it is something very dangerous. As was mentioned by Al-Hafidh Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, وَالْجَهْلُ دَاءٌ وَشَفَاعُهُ أَمْرَانِ فِي التَّرْكِيبِ مُتَّفِقَانِ نَصٌ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْ مِنْ سُنَّةٍ وَطَبِيبٌ ذَاكَ الْعَالِمُ الرَّبَّانِ. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in his Nawniyah, where he says, وَالْجَهْلُ دَاءٌ وَشَفَاعُهُ. He said, "And ignorance is a disease, and its cure. أَمْرَانِ فِي التَّرْكِيبُ مُتَّفِقَانِ." His cure is two things on the same level. Ignorance is a disease, and its cure is two things. Afwan, he said, وَالْجَهْلُ دَاءٌ قَاتِلٌ وَشَفَاءُهُ. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, "And ignorance is a life-threatening disease." قَاتِلٌ, دَاءٌ قَاتِلٌ. It is something that is life-threatening. وَشَفَاءُهُ, and its cure, is two things on the same level. A proof from the Quran or from the Sunnah, وَالْتَبِيبٌ ذَاكَ الْعَالِمُ الرَّبَّانِ, and a tabib, yani a doctor who is the scholar. And a doctor who is the scholar. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala is informing us that he's informing us of the dangers of ignorance. The dangers of ignorance, and that it is a life-threatening, yani danger. It is a life-threatening disease, something that can cause an individual to fall into halak, yani destruction. And as it was illustrated by the salaf of the past taken from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the individual, and it's mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, where the individual was wounded in a battle. An individual from amongst the companions was wounded in a battle, and he was not able to take a ghusl or wudu. And the Sahaba, some from amongst the Sahaba ordered him to do so, and he died because of it. And they returned to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and informed him. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, قَتَلُوهُ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّمَا الشَّفَاعُ الْإِي السُّوَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, they killed him. They have killed him. May Allah kill them. Verily, the cure for the question, for the inquiry, is the question. Yani, the cure for ignorance or not having knowledge is to ask. The cure for the ignorance or not having knowledge is to ask. So these are some of the nusus. These are some of the texts that the ulama mentioned. Some of the texts that the ulama mentioned in regards to ignorance and the dangers of ignorance. So we have it illustrated from the book of Allah Azza wa Jal that it is something that is no doubt from the way of a believer and a person that claims to have iman, is that they are not the type of individual that remains ignorant of their religion. And from knowledge of the religion is an individual understanding what is taqwa. Yes, because taqwa is something that does not come min kibli anfusina. It's not something that comes from ourselves, but it is something that comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani, it is something that is clarified in the book as well as in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And an individual would not become from the muttaqeen, an individual would not become from those who have taqwa, except that he has knowledge of taqwa. It is possible an individual holds and deems something to be from taqwa, but it in fact is against that which Allah Ta'ala has legislated and that which has been legislated by His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his authentic sunnah. And because of that, we find that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always encouraged, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself sought from Allah Azza wa Jal to increase him in knowledge. Why? So that an individual does not remain ignorant. And also, from the things, or in continuing, from the things that hinder an individual from developing taqwa, is an individual not taking proper measurements. And we should understand that the affair of the heart in Islam is something very great. It is something mentioned by our Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala, as well as by His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from the things that are mentioned by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, where He said, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونٌ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, He said, a day that wealth nor children will benefit except an individual that comes to Allah with a pure heart. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتُهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, and we change, yani we turn their hearts and their sight as if they never believed in it. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ كُلُوبَهُمْ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala also said, and when they, yani when their hearts deviated, we led them astray. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in the Quran, في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا. In their hearts they have diseases, so we have increased them in disease. So there's no doubt that from the things that hinders an individual from obtaining and developing taqwa is that the individual doesn't take the proper measurements with regards to the affair of his heart. And we find in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a similar example, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, O the turner of the hearts, make my heart firm upon your deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned, as is mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna fil jasadi mudgha, idha salahat salah al jasadu kullu wa idha fasadat fasad al jasadu kullu ala wa hiya al qalb." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said toward the end of the hadith, "Verily in the body is a piece of flesh. If this piece of flesh is correct, the rest of the actions will be correct. And if this piece of flesh is incorrect and spoiled, then the rest of the actions will be incorrect and spoiled. And verily that piece of flesh is the heart." So we understand that from the affair, from the great affairs of the Muslims, especially with regards to taqwa, is that the individual has some i'tina, he has some concern for that which enters his heart. He has some concern for that which enters his heart. Because verily that which enters his heart, whether that be of khair or whether that be of shar, would have a direct effect on the taqwa or the level of taqwa of the individual. The level of taqwa of the individual. As was mentioned by Abdullah bin Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala or rahimahullahu ta'ala, where he said, "Inni ra'aytu dhunuba tamutu al-qulub." Inni ra'aytu dhunuba tamutu al-qulub. He said, verily I see that sins kill the heart. I see that sins kill the heart. وَقَدْ يُورِثُ الذِّلَّ إِدْمَانُهَا. And with a person continuing upon sin, with the individual continue upon sin, it blackens. Yani it brings him, it blackens his affair or his heart. وَتَرْكُ الذُّنُوبِ حَيَاتُ الْقُلُوبِ وَخَيْرٌ لِنَفْسِكَ عِسْيَانُهَا. He said, and leaving alone the sins is life for your heart. Leaving alone the sins is life for your heart. وَخَيْرٌ لِنَفْسِكَ عِسْيَانُهَا. And the best thing for your nafs is for you to disobey your nafs. And the best thing for an individual's nafs is for him to disobey his nafs. So with understanding, and that which was mentioned briefly, and understanding the affair of the heart, and knowing that it is a piece of flesh that must be correct, and it's a piece of flesh that must have some i'tina, and some concern for, then we can look at and shed some light on some of the things that spoil the heart. And from amongst those things, or from amongst the things that have been mentioned by the ulama of the past, with regards to the situation of the heart, the affair of the heart of the believer, and there's no doubt that this has a direct relationship with taqwa, is that the individual is cautious about that which enters upon his heart. He's cautious and concerned, and he's aware of that which enters upon his heart. And from the first things that can be mentioned with regards to that which enters upon the heart is the companion of the individual, the one that the individual holds to be his companion. And we find that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in his kitab, which is clarification for everything, Allah Azza wa Ta'ala mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the ayat, "Al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum, al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'duhum liba'din adu illa al-muttaqoon." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the close companions or the best friends on that day, they will be enemies except those who had taqwa. The best friends, yani the close companions, al-akhilla, those who were close, those who were best friends on that particular day, يَوْمَ إِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ. On that day they will be enemies, they will be individuals that hate each other except those who have taqwa. Except those who have taqwa. And Allah Azza wa Jal also mentioned about an individual running away from his companions on that particular day. When he, tabarak wa ta'ala, said, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِي وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِي. Allah Azza wa Jal said, the day that the individual would run from his أخي, he would run from his brother, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِي, he would run from his mother and his father, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِي, and he would run from his companion and his tribe. He would run from his companion and his tribe. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنُ يُغْنِي. Everyone on that day has an affair that he is busy with. Everyone on that day has an affair that he is busy with. So we should understand our relationships in the dunya our relationships in the dunya, if they are relationships that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they are relationships that remind us of Allah azza wa jal, if they are relationships that develop taqwa and enjoin taqwa and the likes of that, then this is something that we want to indulge in. And if they are the opposite, then there's no doubt that this is something that we want to abstain from. And if we look into also the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find the same example, as was mentioned by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih al-Bukhari as well as in Sahih Muslim, where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسَ الصَّالِحِ وَجَلِيسَ السُّوءِ كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِقِ الْخَيْرِ أَوْ نَافِقِ الْكَيْرِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the example of a good companion and a bad companion is the example of the one who sells misk, the one who sells oil, and the example of the one who works on a furnace or a boiler or something of that type. And when we know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and walillahi alhamd, all of these narrations are known to us, but the reminder benefits the believer. And we know that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to say, the sahib al-misk, or the one who sells misk, imma yuhdiyak, either he's going to give you a gift, or tabta'a minhu, or you're going to buy from him, أو تجد منه ريحا طيبة, or you're going to find a good fragrance from him. Or you're going to find a good fragrance from him. So this is the example of a good companion in this life as well as in the dunya. In this life as well, afwan, in this life as well as in the hereafter. An example of a bad companion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إما يحرك ثوبك, either he's going to burn your thawb, or تجد منه ريحا خبيثة, or you're going to find a bad smell from him. Or you're going to find a bad smell from him. So we understand with these narrations that this is the affair of good companions and bad companions. And there's no doubt that this has a direct relationship with taqwa and a person obtaining taqwa. Because if an individual wants to develop taqwa, then he must be with individuals that try their best to develop taqwa. He must be with individuals that try their best to do the same thing, and that is to develop taqwa. And if he wants to be min afsad al-nas, if he wants to be from the worst of the people, then there's no doubt that he takes his companions to be the worst of the people. As it was said by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, al-mu'min ala dini khalili. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, aw kama qal, verily the believer is upon, or verily the Muslim is upon the religion of his companion. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَلِّلْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued by saying, so let all of you look toward who he befriends. So there's no doubt this is another example of the importance of friendship and its relation to taqwa. And another example of that is if you look into the statements of the Salaf, that one of the ways the Salaf used to know an individual is by his friendships. One of the ways that the Salaf used to know and hold an individual is by the companions that he used to keep. When I said, عَنِ الْمَرْءِ لَا تَسْأَلْ وَاسْأَلْ عَنْ قَرِينِهِ فَقُولُ قَرِينٍ بِالْمُقَارِنِ يَقْتَدِي. They used to say, about the individual don't ask, but ask about his companion, for everyone follows his companion. For verily everyone follows his companion. And if we wanted to look about that particular statement, or those particular statements, there's no doubt that there's many texts that can be mentioned about the affair of companions. And from the things that can be mentioned about the affair of companions is there are several things that take place. When an individual takes as his companions those who are not muttaqun, those who do not have taqwa. And in general, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned about that, as he mentioned in Mudarik al-Salikin, where he said, وَكَمْ جَلَبَتْ الْخُلْتَةُ النَّاسِ مِنْ نِكْمَةٍ. And he said, how much of mingling with the people, yani when an individual mingles with people, and of course the type of mingling which is not of benefit, how much of mingling with people has cost of anger and yani malice and wrath and the likes of that. وَدَفَعَتْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ. And mixing with the people, yani people that are upon that which is displeasing to Allah,
He said, and وَدَفَعَتْ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ, and it has taken away the ni'mah. Any individuals taking those who are not muttakun, those who do not fear Allah Azza wa Jalla as their companions, دَفَعَتْ النِّعْمَةٍ, it has taken away, it has driven away the ni'mah. It has driven away the blessings of Allah. وَأَنْزَلَتْ مِنْ نِحْمَةٍ, and it has caused trials to occur. It has caused, yani this type of relationship has caused trials to occur. وَعَتَلَتْ مِنْ مِنْحَ, and it has taken away or has caused a cut, yani no more yani grants from Allah Azza wa Jal, no more blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَحَلَّتْ مِنْ رَزِيَّ, and it has caused calamity to befall, and it has caused calamities to befall. وَعَوْكَعَتْ فِي الْبَلِيَّ, and it has placed people in tribulations. And it has placed people, individuals, in tribulations. وَهَلْ آفَاتُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا النَّاسِ, and he said, and the danger that has taken place with the people, has it not only been the cause, or hasn't it only been the cause except other individuals? وَهَلْ آفَاتُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا النَّاسِ, yani the shortcomings and the calamities that has taken place with individuals, verily, it is because of other individuals. وَهَلْ, and then he's going to mention, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great example from the life story of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَهَلْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ أَبِي طَالِبْ عِنْدَ الْوَفَاةِ أَدَرَّ مِنْ قُرَنَاءِ السُّوءِ, and he said, was there anything more harmful upon the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abi Talib, was there anything more harmful upon this individual than bad companions? And we know the story of Abu Talib where he was upon his deathbed, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, and he was said, Ya Ammi kulla ilaha illallah. He said, oh my uncle, say la ilaha illallah, and this will benefit you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And you had Abu Jahl and the other individuals that was there, and he was saying to him, are you going to go against the way? Are you going to go against the religion of your forefathers, the religion of your people? So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he's making an istinbat, he's making a deduction from this hadith, a proof that one of the worst things upon an individual is bad companions. So he said, وَهَلْ كَانَ عَلَىٰ أَبِي طَالِبْ عِنْدَ الْوَفَاةِ أَدَرَّ مِنْ قُرَنَاءِ السُّوءِ, was there anything more harmful upon Abu Talib at the time of his death, except companions, yani evil companions. لَمْ يَزَالُ بِهِ حَتَّى حَالُوا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ كَلِمَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ تُوجِبُ لَهُ سَعَادَةِ الْعَبَدِ, تُوجِبُ لَهُ سَعَادَةِ الْعَبَدِ. He said, they did not leave him, yani these bad companions, they did not leave him until they were a distraction from him, or until they were a distraction for him, between him and him saying one statement, yani saying La ilaha illallah. They did not leave him until they became a hindrance, until they became a distraction for him in saying La ilaha illallah. It was one word that would have allowed him to have everlasting pleasure. Yani, had he said La ilaha illallah, it would have been something that would have entered him into Jannah. But because of these Qurana Issu, because of these evil companions, they were a hindrance for him. They were a hindrance and a block for him in saying this one word that would have allowed him to have everlasting pleasure in Jannah. But because of this evil companionship, he did not say La ilaha illallah. And because of that, he would enter the hellfire. So this is one of the things which is encouraged by the ulama with regards to the affair of taqwa. And if an individual wants to obtain taqwa, and if he wants to develop taqwa, then there's no doubt that the individual, first and foremost, from that which we mentioned, is careful of that which enters his heart. And from that which enters his heart is those companions that he takes. Those that enjoin the good, or those that remind him of Allah and forbid him of that which is bad and the likes of that. And with that regard, another thing that takes place, when an individual takes those who are not from amongst the muttaqun, is that they are not the type of individual, they are not the type of individuals that enjoin the good and forbid the evil upon one another. They are not the type of individuals that enjoin the good and forbid the evil upon one another. And this is something established and mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and encouraged as well as by His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sunnah, where Allah ta'ala said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Allah ta'ala said, you were the best people. You were the best people that have been taken out for mankind. And the reason why Allah ta'ala has informed us of that khayriyah of us being the best is not simply because we say we're Muslim, but it comes later in the ayat where He says, تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. The reason why you have that khayriyah and that preference over others is because you enjoin the good and you forbid the evil. You enjoin the good and you forbid the evil and you believe in Allah. You enjoin the good and you forbid the evil and you believe in Allah. As well as in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where He said, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And join all together upon birr wa taqwa, good, and all which is good. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not come together upon evil and transgression. So there's no doubt when an individual takes those who are not muttaqoon, when he takes those who are not God-fearing and the likes, then there's no doubt these are not the type of individuals that would remind you. These are not the type of individuals that would order you to do good, nor would they forbid you to do evil. And this is something ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, as well as by His Sunnah, as well as by His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sunnah. And you have in the Hadith, which is reported in Bukhari and others, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَثَلُ الْقَائِمِ عَلَى حُدُودِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُوحِنِ فِيهِ أَوَ الْمُتَهَاوِنِ فِيهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of an individual that stands for the right of Allah or stands for that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, and an individual who is lenient in that which Allah has legislated, كَمَثَلِ قَوْمٍ اسْتَحَمُوا فِي السَّفِينَةِ, is the example of individuals that drew straws to see who would take the higher part of the ship. Yani there was a boat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning the example of a ship or a boat, and there's two levels to the boat. There's the higher level and the lower level. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yani the example of individuals that enjoin the good and forbid the evil is the example of the people that drew straws to board the boat. Some of the people would board the lower part of the boat and others would board the higher part of the boat. And the individuals that would board the lower part of the boat, or the ship, when the ship went out to the sea, they had no way of getting water except that they would climb up to the deck or to the higher part of the boat and they would seek water from their companions. So one day, these individuals that were in the bottom of the boat, they said, لَوْ خَرَقْنَا فِي نَسِيبِنَا خَرْقًا. They said, if we were to make a hole in our part of the boat, yani they are at the bottom of the boat. They said to one another, if we were to make a hole at the bottom of the boat, وَلَا نُؤْذِي مَنْ فَوْقَنَا, and we would not cause problems, or we would not no longer request from the individuals that are on the top of the boat. Instead, let's place a hole in the bottom of the ship or in the bottom of the boat. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, verily if they were to place a hole in the bottom of the ship, all of them would be destroyed. But if the individuals that were on the top of the ship were to enjoin the good and forbid the evil, yani if they were to take the hand of the safih, if they were to take the hand of the individual who does not have intellect, if they were to take the hand of the wrongdoer and stop him from doing that which is wrong, then all of them would be saved. And if they were to leave them, then all of them would be destroyed. And if they were to leave them to dig this hole, then all of them would be destroyed. So this is another thing without a doubt that shows the importance of individuals enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil amongst one another. And there's no doubt that this is something, going back to that which is the point, there's no doubt that this is something adeen. It is something that is not present in individuals that are not muttaqun. It is something that is not present in individuals that are not God-fearing. So because of that, the way of the believer is that he takes his companions that are to be those that are God-fearing. Individuals that would enjoin the good. Individuals that would forbid the evil. Individuals that would remind him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he forgets. So that's one of the things. Another thing that can be mentioned with regards to individuals taking companions that are not muttaqoon is that this is the gathering of kadhib. This is the gathering of lying. And as the ulama mentioned, yani lying becomes the hilawatul majlis. It becomes the candy of the gathering. Individuals when they sit together and they're not upon taqwa and they're not upon dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the likes of that, one thing that becomes widespread amongst them is that they begin to lie and they begin to exaggerate and they begin to make ghibah and namim and the likes of that. And we know that this is something forbidden in Islam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladheena amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, fear Allah and be amongst those who are truthful. O you who believe, fear Allah and be amongst those who are truthful. So this is an order of Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that an individual, he takes as his companions those who are truthful. And those who are not muttaqoon are not considered from those who are truthful. And we also find in the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari as well as Sahih Muslim, on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَصْدُقُ وَيَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقَ حَتَّى يُقْتَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, verily truthfulness leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to Jannah. And an individual would not continue to be truthful except that he would be written with Allah Azza wa Jalla as a person who is truthful. An individual will continue to be truthful and he would be written with Allah Azza wa Jalla as a truthful individual. وَإِنَّ الْكَذَبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَكْذِبُ وَيَتَحَرَّ الْكَذِبَ إِلَّا يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us of the opposite, where he said, and verily lying leads to fujur, transgression and evil, and verily transgression and evil leads to the hellfire. And an individual will continue to lie until he is written with Allah Azza wa Jal as a liar. And there's no doubt, we can be honest with ourselves, that this is something that plagues some of our gatherings, the gatherings of individuals, and that is individuals lying. And individuals exaggerating, and the likes of that. Yani these different type of amrad al-majalis, these different type of evils of the gatherings. An individual, like we mentioned in the beginning, and there's no harm in mentioning again, an individual has to be very cautious of that which enters upon his heart. As was mentioned by the Salaf of the past, and from amongst them, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Kitab al-Fawa'id, where he mentioned, Al-Qalbu yamrud kama yamrud al-Badin. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, he said, and the heart becomes sick. The heart becomes sick just as the body becomes sick. وَشَفَاؤُهُ فِي التَّوْبَةِ وَالْحَمِيَّةِ. And he said, and the cure for the sickness of the heart is in tawbah and protection. That which Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala is mentioning is of great fa'idah. Where he said, and the cure for the sickness of the heart is in tawbah wal-hamiyyah. Yani, is in repentance and protection. And there's no doubt from protection of the heart. From protection of the heart is an individual being cautious of who he is amongst, of who he sits with and the likes of that. And then he continued to say, وَيَتَسَدَّأُ كَمَا يَتَتَسَدَّأَ الْمِرْآةِ. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala continued by saying, he said, and verily the heart can become polished, and verily the heart can become polished and cleaned, just as the mirror, just as the mirror becomes polished and cleaned. وَجَلَاؤُهُ بِالذِّكْرِ. And he said, and this purification or cleansing is with dhikr. It is with dhikr, the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, and the likes of that. And so the end of the kalam of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, and it's very mateen, and it is strong kalam. But this is from amongst the things that we wanted to mention. This is from amongst the things that we want to mention, the importance of individuals taking good campaigns and the likes. Another thing that can be mentioned about an individual trying to develop taqwa is the individual not being mashgul an dhikrillahi azza wa jal. And in fact, that particular point, or the point of an individual not being distracted from the remembrance of Allah, the point of an individual not being distracted from the remembrance of Allah. And that's taken from the kalam of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, where he mentioned the purification and the cleansing of the heart is with the dhikr. The purification and the cleansing of the heart is with the dhikr. So there's no doubt that one of the dangers of an individual with regards to his taqwa and with regards to his heart is an individual being distracted from the dhikr of Allah. An individual being distracted from the dhikr of Allah. And we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordering you in the Quran not to be distracted from the dhikr of Allah. Because there's no doubt that one of the results of an individual being distracted from the dhikr of Allah, one of the results of an individual being distracted from the dhikr of Allah is that an individual falls into that which is displeasing to Allah. And an individual begins to perform that which is the opposition to taqwa. He begins to perform that which is in opposition to taqwa. And the example of that, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an dhikri illah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, do not allow, O you who believe, do not allow your amwal, your wealth, nor your children, tulhikum an dhikrillah, to distract you from the remembrance of Allah. Do not allow your wife, afwan, do not allow your wealth, nor your children, to distract you from the dhikr of Allah. To distract you from the dhikr of Allah. As well as the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَتْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those who believe, verily their hearts are softened, verily their hearts find comfort in the remembrance of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. With the remembrance of Allah, your heart becomes comfort, and the likes of that. With the remembrance of Allah, your heart becomes comfort, or comfortable, and finds its tranquility. And we understand, as it was mentioned by our brother Fareed Abdullah, Jazallahu Khair, in the other ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْرِدْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانٍ فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٍ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whoever turns away from the dhikr of Allah, whoever turns away from the dhikr of Allah, we would appoint for him a shaitan, and he would be his companion. We would appoint for him a shaitan, and he would be his companion. And another ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَدَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَ. The other ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and whoever turns away from the dhikr of Allah, he would have a restrained life. So there's no doubt that from the things that hinder an individual in obtaining taqwa is that the individual is distracted from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is distracted from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informing of that. Where he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تزال لسانك رطبا بذكر الله. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and do not let your tongue become dry from the remembrance of Allah. And do not let your tongue become dry from the remembrance of Allah. Or keep your tongue wet in the remembrance of Allah. Keep your tongue wet in the remembrance of Allah, who subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that was mentioned by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to inform us of how the believer should be. And there's no doubt, bil'aqs, out with the opposite, you find the opposite. When an individual finds himself busy and distracted from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is when an individual falls into that. This is one of the ways an individual falls into that which is against taqwa of Allah azza wa jal. And from that which was mentioned by the scholars, something that was mentioned in a kitab, Fiqh al-Adiya wal-Adhkar, by Shaykh Abdul Razak al-Abbad, hafizahullah ta'ala, in his book on the fiqh of supplication and the likes, he said, وَفِي تِلْكَ الْأَذْكَارِ الْعَظِيمَةِ وَتَنَوِّئِهَا بِحَسْبِ مَنَاسِبِتِهَا تَجْدِيدٌ لِأَهْدِ الْإِيمَانِ. He said, and with these great adhkar, yani when an individual takes it upon himself to learn the adhkar, the remembrance and the supplication, with all of its different settings and the likes of that, تَجْدِيدٌ لِأَهْدِ الْإِيمَانِ. It has a revival, of the iman of the individual. And it increases and revives the iman of an individual. وَالتَّقْوِيَةُ لِلسِّلَةِ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And it strengthens the relationship with Allah. It strengthens a person's relationship with Allah. وَاعْتِرَافٌ بِنِعْمِهِ الْمُتَوَالِيَةِ وَآلَائِهِ الْمُتَتَالِيَةِ. He said, and it has a person understanding the blessings of Allah, the continuous, constant blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When an individual knows the adhkar and the supplications and the likes of that, a person admits and he understands and he bears witness to the continuous, constant blessings of Allah azza wa jal. وَشُكْرٌ لَهُ عَلَى تَفَضُّلِهِ وَإِنْعَامِهِ وَجَوْدِهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ. And in the adhkar, in the supplications, is an individual being grateful for the merits that Allah has shown him, and the blessings, and the generosity, and the kindness, the merits that Allah has shown you, and His blessings, and His generosity, and His kindness. وَفِيهَا لُجُوءٌ إِلَيْهِ وَحْدِ. And in it is that a person only turns to Allah, yani in the supplications, and an individual being mindful of Allah, and always constant in the remembrance of Allah, you have that the individual only turning to Allah. وَاَعْتِمَادٌ عَلَيْهِ دُونَّ مَا سِوَاهُ بِالتَّعَوُّضِ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. And that the individual, puts his trust only in Allah, and he does not put it in other than Allah. بِالتَّعَوُّضِ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. And that the individual seeks refuge in Allah. مِنْ نَزَغَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَشُرُورِ النَّاسِ. And this is one of the points that we wanted to make. Yani that the individual seeks refuge in Allah, the Most High, from the temptations of the shaitan and from the evil of the people. The individual seeks refuge in Allah from the temptations of the shaitan and from the evil of the people. وَشَرِّ كُلِّ ذِي شَرٍ مِّنْ خَلْقٍ. And he seeks refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal from the evil of everyone that has evil from the creation. And he seeks refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal from the evil of every individual that has evil from amongst the creation. وَمِن شَرِّ نِقْمَتِي أَوْ مِن شَرِّ نِقْمَةً أَوْ بَلَاءٍ أَوْ مُصِيبَةٍ. And he seeks refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal from every anger, yani everything which is evil, and every trial and every calamity. Yani in the remembrance of Allah, and in supplicating to Allah, an individual finds his protection from all types of anger, and all types of evil, and all types of trials and calamities. And then he later on mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he said, وَذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ عَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَعَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab where he said, and those who remember Allah much, from amongst the men, and those who remember Allah much amongst the women, Allah has prepared for them a great forgiveness and a great reward. Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared for them forgiveness and a great reward. And it was mentioned by the Salaf, from amongst the Salaf, it was mentioned by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, where he said, وَمَعْنَى الْآيَةِ أَنَّهُ الْمُرَادُ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ فِي أَدْبَارِ الصَّلَوَاتِ وَغُدُوًّا وَعَشِيًّا وَفِي الْمُضَاجِعِ كلما استيقظ من نومه وكلما غدا أو راح من منزله ذكر الله تعالى. يعني ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما is bringing us the understanding of this ayat. He said, and the meaning that an individual is one that remembers Allah is that he remembers Allah at the end of the salawat, at the end of the prayers. And he remembers Allah in the morning. And he remembers Allah at night. And he remembers Allah when he's laying down. كُلَّمَا اسْتَيْقَذَ مِن نَوْمِهِ Every time he wakes up from his sleep, he remembers Allah. And every time he gets up, he remembers Allah. And every time he leaves his dwelling place, yani every time he leaves his home, he remembers Allah. He remembers Allah. And it was mentioned by the Salaf, one of the students of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala, anhuma Mujahid, rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, لا يكون من الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات حتى يذكر الله قائما وقائدا ومضطجعا. Mujahid, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned that an individual will not be from amongst those who remembers Allah much, except that he remembers Allah while he's standing, and he remembers Allah while he's sitting, and he remembers Allah while he's laying down. He remembers Allah when he's standing, and he remembers Allah when he's sitting, and he remembers Allah when he's laying down. And there's no doubt, the asl, or the benefit of the kalam, is that an individual, when he stays in the state of dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, when he stays in a state of remembrance and supplication and calling on Allah, then there's no room for him to fall into that which goes against taqwa. Then there's no room for him to fall into that which goes against taqwa. And it was mentioned, or su'ila Abu Amr ibn Salah, one of the salaf of the past, Ibn Salah, mentioned, or he was asked about the affair of al-dhikr. He was asked about the affair of dhikr, and how can a person be amongst those who remember Allah much? And he said, إِذَا وَاذَبَ عَلَى الْأَذْكَارِ الْمَعْثُورَةِ الْمُثْبِتَ الصَّبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً فِي الْأَوْقَاتِ وَالْأَحْوَالِ الْمُخْتَلِفَةِ لَيْلًا وَالنَّحَارِ وَهِيَ مَبْنِيَّةٌ فِي كِتَابِ عَمَلِ الْيَوْمِ وَاللَّيْلِ كَانَ مِنَ الذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. As was mentioned by Imam al-Nawawi in Azkar, Ibn al-Salah, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked, how can a person become from amongst those who remember Allah much? And he said, an individual has to constantly remember Allah. An individual has to constantly remember Allah with the supplications that have been proven, yani with the authentic supplications. He has to remember Allah with authentic supplications in the morning and at night and at all times, and like we mentioned, at night and in the morning. And these azkar are based on the actions of the night, or the books of the actions of the night and the actions of the day. And there were ulama of the past that they wrote books on actions of the night and actions of the day. Yani supplications that an individual says at night and supplications that an individual would say in the day. And Ibn Salah said, if the individual is constant and frequent upon these supplications, then verily he would be amongst those who Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the ayat, وَذَّاكِنِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَذَّاكِرَاتٍ. Those who remember Allah much from amongst the men and from amongst the women. So these are some of the things that we encourage the believers with, that they make themselves amongst those that remember Allah Ta'ala. And they make themselves, yani they themselves, amongst those that remember Allah. And that they only befriend those that are similar to them. And that they only befriend those that are similar to them. Those that are similar to them, yani those that remember Allah. And there's no doubt, when individuals take it upon themselves, and they make themselves from amongst those that remember Allah Azza wa Jal much, then they, without a doubt, would acquire and develop a taqwa. And with the opposite, you have the opposite. When they do the opposite, they would have the opposite. Yani that which goes against taqwa. Another thing that an individual can do with regards to the affair of taqwa is that the individual can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him this. The individual makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him this. Yani, he makes dua to Allah ta'ala to make him from amongst the muttaqoon. As was mentioned by some of the salaf, and from amongst them, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said in his book, Adda'u wa Dawa, he said, وَالدُّعَاءُ مِنْ أَنْفَعَ الْأَدْوِيَةِ He said, and from the most beneficial cures is supplicating to Allah. Any, from amongst the most beneficial things that can help you in your strive to obtain taqwa is that you call on Allah and ask Him to give it to you. That you call on Allah Azza wa Jal and ask Him to give it to you. And he mentioned, وَهُوَ عَدُوُّ الْبَلَىٰ. He said, and dua, supplicating to Allah, is the enemy of calamities. Supplication to Allah is the enemy of calamities. يُدَافِعُهُ وَيُعَالِجُهُ. With supplicating to Allah, you can ward off calamities. With supplicating to Allah, you can ward off calamities. And you can cure calamities. وَيَمْنَعُ نُزُولَهُ. Yani, and supplication. Supplication can stop calamities from befalling you. Supplications can stop calamities from befalling you. To the end of his kalam, he said, وَهُوَ سِلَاهُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, and dua is, yani, the weapon of the believer. And dua is the weapon of the believer. As it was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الدُعَاء سِلَاهُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. With the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and the dua is the weapon of the believer. And dua is the weapon of the believer. And we should understand that in order for us to obtain this type of thing, which we mentioned, taqwa, we must have some form, yani, in order for us to have understanding of the affair of taqwa, and in supplicating to Allah Ta'ala for taqwa, then bi-idhnillah, we would develop it. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa aminu bi rusulihi, or afwan, in another ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha, in tattaqullaha yaj'al lakum furqana. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in the Quran, and if you fear Allah, Allah would make for you a furqan. If you fear Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah would make for you a furqan. And it was mentioned by Muhammad bin Ishaq, one of the Mufassirun, he said, I faslan bayn al-haqqi wal-batil. He said, yani, when an individual tries their best to fear Allah, Allah will give them understanding, he will give them a criteria between that which is correct and that which is wrong. When an individual tries to fear Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give them a criteria between that which is right and that which is wrong. Between that which is right and that which is wrong. And there's no doubt, as we mentioned in the beginning, when an individual takes it, that which, or from the things that are required, from the things that are obligatory in order for a person to obtain taqwa, is that an individual obtains knowledge. Is that an individual takes it upon himself to obtain knowledge. And from that which illustrates that it is upon a person to obtain knowledge in order for him to obtain taqwa, is the same ayat that we mentioned. Where he said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in tattaqullaha, where Allah Ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in tattaqullaha yaj'al lakum furqana. Ya, O you who believe, if you fear Allah, He will give you understanding. O you who believe, if you fear Allah, He will give you understanding. And it was mentioned by some of the Salaf, and from amongst them Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. He said, Wal asbabul mani'atu min qubul al-haq kathiratan jiddan. He said, and some of the reasons, or the reasons for an individual not taking the truth, the reason for an individual being distracted from the truth, are several. وَمِنْهَا الْجَهْلُ بِهِ. And from amongst them is that an individual does not know what is the truth. Yani, reasons for an individual not accepting and submitting to the truth are many. And from them is that an individual does not know the truth. وَهَذَا السَّبَبُ هُوَ الْغَالِبُ عَلَى أَكْثَرِ النَّفُوسِ. And he said, and this is the most prevalent reason with regards to the people. And this is the most prevalent reason with regards to the people. فَإِنَّ مَنْ جَهِلَ شَيْئًا عَدَاهُ وَعَادَ أَهْلَهُ. He said, verily an individual who does not know something, he is an enemy to it and he is an enemy to its people. Verily an individual who does not know something, he is an enemy to it and he is an enemy to its people. And he is an enemy to his people. And it was also mentioned, yani, something that explains to us that we cannot remain in a state of ignorance about taqwa and about the things that bring about taqwa, is that it's possible an individual falls into sin. It's possible an individual falls into sin if he chooses to remain ignorant about sin. If he chooses to remain ignorant about sin and about taqwa. And from that, an example of that, it was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala in his book Iqtida' al-Sirat al-Mustaqim, where he said, وَيُلْحُكُ الذَّمُّ مَنْ تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْحَقِّ فَتَرَكَهُ. Yani Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala is going to mention the different types of people that fall into sin. The different types of people that falls into sin. And the first type, he said, one who the truth has been made clear to him, but he leaves it. The type of individual who the truth has been made clear to him, but he leaves it. أَوْ مَنْ قَصَّرَ فِي طَلَبِهِ حَتَّى لَمْ يَتَبَيِّنْ لَهُ. And the second type of individual that falls into sin is the individual that يعني, is deficient in seeking it. The individual who is deficient in seeking it. أَوْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ طَلَبِي مَعْرِفَتِي لِلْحَوَى. Or an individual that does not seek it because of his desires. Or an individual that does not seek it because of his desires. So in this statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, we find that one of the individuals that can fall into sin is a person that wants to remain ignorant about that which is correct. The type of individual that wants to remain ignorant about that which is correct, because Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala has clarified that he falls into sin. Why? Because he does not seek knowledge of that which is correct. And Allah Azza wa Jal has ordered him to do so. Where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So these are several things with regards to taqwa. These are several things with regards to taqwa. Yani, and from amongst those things, like we mentioned, is that an individual does not find it in himself to remain ignorant about this affair. Find it himself to remain ignorant about this affair. But that which is upon him is to learn about it. That which is upon him is to learn about it. And to strengthen his knowledge of it. And from amongst those things that strengthens his knowledge of it is that which we mentioned. Yani, he makes from amongst his close companions those who have taqwa. He makes from amongst his close companions those who have taqwa. As was illustrated in the different ayat as well as in the different hadiths. Another thing that can be mentioned about the affair of taqwa, that can be mentioned about the affair of taqwa, is the understanding that an individual has of the dunya that he's living in. Is the understanding of the individual has of the dunya that he's living in. Because there's no doubt when an individual has the correct perception, the correct understanding about this particular life that he's living in, then this is the type of person that does actions that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in preparation for the hereafter. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. O you who believe, O you who believe, fear Allah, and let every soul look toward that which they put forth for tomorrow. O you who believe, fear Allah, and let every soul look toward that which they put forth for tomorrow. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And fear Allah. Verily Allah is all aware of that which you do. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and do not be like those who forgot Allah, so he made them forget themselves. Do not be like those who have forgotten Allah, so he made them forget themselves. Verily they are the fasikun. Verily they are the wrongdoers. So there's no doubt that the way of the believer, and especially with regards to taqwa, and one thing that can develop taqwa is that the individual realize the reality of this dunya. The reality of this dunya. And that it is a passing phase. It is a passing phase for the hereafter. It is a passing phase for the hereafter. As we've mentioned before, and there's no point and there's no harm in us mentioning again, where the famous poet of the past said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ إِبَادٌ فُتَنَا طَلَّكَ الدُّنْيَا وَخَافُوا الْفِتَنَا نَظَرُوا فِيهَا فَلَمَّا عَلِمُوا أَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ لِحَيٍّ وَتَنَا جَعَلُوهَا لُجَّةً وَاتَّخَذُوا صَالِحَ الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا سُفَنَا. The famous poet mentioned, famous poet of the past mentioned, he said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has yani, servants that have intellect, servants that have knowledge. خَافُوا الْفِتَنَا نَعْمُ خَافُوا نَعْمُ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ بَعْضٌ فُتَنَا طَلَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَخَافُوا الْفِتَنَا. Yani, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has individuals that have intellect, knowledge. طَلَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا. They have separated themselves from the dunya and they have feared the fitan. They have separated themselves from the dunya and they have feared the fitan. نَظَرُوا فِيهَا فَلَمَّا عَلِمُوا. They have looked into it. They have looked into the affair of this dunya. فَلَمَّا عَلِمُوا. And once they've realized, أَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ لِحَيٍّ وَتَنَا. They realize that it is not a place, it is not a dwelling place, it is not a home of an individual that has a heart. It is not a home of an individual that has a heart, or an individual that has a living heart.
طلقوا الدنيا وخافوا الفتنة نظروا فيها فلما علموا أنها ليست لحي وتنا جعلوها لجة واتخذوا صالح الأعمال فيها وتنا
يعني صالح الأعمال فيها سفنا. They've looked into it and they realized that it is not a dwelling place for an individual that has a heart. جعلوها لجة. They made it into a ocean. They made this dunya into an ocean.
جعلوها لجة واتخذوا.
They made the dunya into an ocean.
وَاتَّخَذُوا صَالِحَ الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا سُفَنًا
And they have made righteous actions as a ship. And they have made righteous actions as a ship, يعني, so that they can cross across this dunya. So that they can travel across this dunya.
And you have from the statements of the Salaf, the statement of Ali bin Abi Talib, the companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he's mentioned, إِنَّمَا أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ اتِّبَاعَ الْحَوَى وَطُولَ الْأَمَلِ Ali bin Abi Talib, رضي الله تعالى عنه,
he gave a very beautiful statement with regards to the dunya. He said, verily that which I fear for you is you following your desires. He said, verily that which I fear for you is you following your desires.
وطول العمل
and يعني time passing by.
فإن اتباع الهوى يصد عن الحق ويذكر الدنيا.
He said, for verily following your desires deters you from following the haq. Following your desires distracts you from following that which is true. And it reminds you of the dunya. Yani it makes you always constantly involved in the dunya.
وَطُولُ الْعَمَلِ يُنْسِي الْآخِرَةِ
And طول العمل ينسي الآخرة. And time passing by makes you forget about the hereafter. And time passing by makes you forget about the hereafter.
وَإِنَّ الدُّنْيَا قَدْ ارْتَحَلَتْ مُدْبِرًا وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ مُقْبِلًا
He said, and verily the dunya has traveled. Verily this life, the dunya has traveled. And it has turned away. Verily, this dunya has traveled and it has turned away.
وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَ مُقْبِلًا
And verily, the hereafter has turned toward you. And verily, the hereafter has turned toward you.
وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدْ مِنْهُمَا بَنُونَ
And both of them, يعني the dunya and the hereafter, they both have children.
فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا
He said, so be from the children of the hereafter and do not be from the children of this life. Be from the children of the hereafter, and do not be from the children of this life.
فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ بِلَا حِسَابٌ وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ بِلَا عَمَلٌ
For verily today is actions with no reckoning. Verily today is actions with no reckoning, and tomorrow is reckoning with no actions. And tomorrow is reckoning with no actions. So from the way of the believer, is that there are individuals, that realize the reality of this dunya. They are individuals that realize the reality of this world and this life that we live in. And they realize the only thing that will save them, the only thing that would allow them to pass it is righteous actions. As it was said by the poet,
جَعَلُوهَا لُجَّةً وَاتَّقَذُوا صَالِحَ الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا سُفَنَا
يعني they made it an ocean and they made righteous actions as a ship to cross this ocean. And the likes of the statement of Ali bin Abi Talib رضي الله تعالى عنه where he said,
كُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا
Be from the children of the hereafter and do not be from the children of this life. Be from the children of the hereafter and do not be from the children of this life. And we know the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرِ السَّبِيلِ
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be in this life. And this is an order from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be in this life as a traveler or Now, be in this life as a stranger or a traveler. And Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الْمَسَاءِ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ السَّبَاءِ
Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma,
he said, if you woke up, then don't wait for the night. If you woke up, then don't wait for the night. And if you approach the night, then don't wait for the morning. Yani, live as if it is your last day. Live as if it is your last day. And the ulama, in the seerah of the salaf, in the life stories of the salaf, they mentioned by many of the salaf, and from amongst those ulama, Imam Awza'i, Abdul Rahman al-Awza'i, and others from amongst the salaf, they said if this individual was to die, then he could have not increased in his actions. If this individual was to die, or if he was being informed that he was going to die, he would have not have been able to increase in his actions. And there's no doubt that is because of the amount. And that is because the greatness of those individuals in regards to their taqwa. They were individuals, of course, we do not know when we're going to die. We do not know when we're going to die, but we know that it is a fact that we're going to die. So the Salaf from amongst the past, and at the head of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the head of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who came after them, they lived in this life understanding that there's a hereafter. They lived in this life understanding that there's a Lord that they're going to meet, and there's a house that they're going to live in. So they performed actions, like it was mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, you know that there's a Lord you're going to meet and a house that you're going to live in. So please your Lord before you meet Him and decorate your house before you move into it. So please your Lord before you meet Him and decorate your house before you move into it. So like we mentioned, the life stories of the Salaf, they were individuals that lived for the day and understood that they're going to die. And if they were to be informed that they were going to die, they would have not been able to increase in their actions. And so this is that which we advise one another. With regards to the affair of taqwa. And like we mentioned, that which the brothers have mentioned before us was of great benefit, and it was sufficient. But we just tried to add that which we saw beneficial. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to accept it from us. So there's no doubt from amongst the things that an individual can do to obtain taqwa is the individual, for one, learns about taqwa. For one, learns about taqwa from the Book of Allah as well as from the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two, that the individual takes it upon himself to implement it. It is not just sufficient that an individual learns about taqwa. It's not just sufficient that an individual has the narrations and the ayats pertaining to taqwa, but that individual does not have action. As was mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in Kitab al-Fawa'id, one of the ways that an individual goes astray is that an individual knows about the Salaf, but he leaves implementing the lives of the Salaf. An individual knows about the Salaf, but he leaves alone imitating and following the lives of the Salaf. So it's not just sufficient that an individual learns about the affair of taqwa, but that which is incumbent upon a person and obligatory upon a person is that he implements that which he knows about taqwa. And there's no doubt in him implementing that which he knows about taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase him in it. As was mentioned by the Salaf, whoever acts upon that which they know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them knowledge about that which they do not know. Allah Azza wa Jalla will give them knowledge about that which they do not know. And also from the affairs of taqwa is that an individual makes from amongst his companions those who are muttaqun. And he sticks with those individuals. And he befriends those individuals. And he makes them his close companions. And he abstains from the opposite. And the third thing is that an individual reads into the life of the Salaf. As well as later on an individual makes dua. And an individual supplicates to Allah and asks Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to give them that taqwa. As it was mentioned by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ati nafsa taqwaha wa zakiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Oh Allah, give my nafs its taqwa.
Wa zakiha anta khayru man zakkaha.
And purify my nafs. For verily you are the one, or you're the best one to purify it. Anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Verily you are the protector. Verily you are the protector of my nafs. We ask Allah ta'ala to benefit us with that which we've heard. We ask Allah ta'ala to forgive us for our sins and make us from amongst those who hear that which is of benefit and implement it and understand it and spread it. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasleeman kathira.